Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Sadi Tess, 99. We're on Sadi Ches Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud. And big topics over the past couple of days. Big topics continue for the next couple of days. Topics on Tarovus, on mixtures. Amar Rabbi Chia, we just start right with the Gemara today. We are five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Last two words in the line. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapal, Kol Yisrael Shabbatar B'Shishin. So he gives a big rule. And the big rule is that when it comes to Issa in the Torah, it's Shishim, so it's 1 in 60. So you have a mixture, and the mixture is 1 to 60, so then you're going to have Bittul, you'll have nullification. So Amar Lefan Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Atta Omer Kain, Hach Amar Ravasi, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapal, Kol Yisrael Shabbatar B'Meyo. So he says, he quotes in the name of Rav Yishuv ben Levi, he quotes the name of Bar Kapara, then no, the magic number is going to be 100. 1 to 100 is your ratio. Okay? So I know we've been speaking in terms of 1 to 60, for the most part, pretty consistently. And now what the Gemara does is throw a little bit of a curveball at us, and the Gemara says that, well, there's one opinion that says it's 1 to 60 is the ratio in order to negate. But then the Gemara says there's another opinion which is 1 to 100. Okay? Again, let's just make sure that we understand, and this is the part that you just got to keep straight. It's really the one rule where, if you understand this one part, really the whole sugya kind of flows. And that is there are two types of mixtures. There's a mixture of min bimino, There's a mixture of lach balach, and there's a mixture of yavish biyavish, meaning that you can have tastes combining, or you can have the actual objects combine themselves. So in the case where the objects themselves combine, what we'll call yavish b'yavish, dry food and dry food, so there it's batal berov. There all you need is a simple majority, and that would be enough. If, however, you have taste that's combining, you have lach balach, so then you have to negate the taste. How much do you need in order to negate the taste? So again, so we've been saying for almost for the past 3 days, we've been saying shishim is your magic number. The truth of the matter is that we also been saying that you can give it to a non-Jew and let him taste it and see, do you taste the Isser, yes or no? And if he says no, then it's fine. So then you could rely on him. Okay, and we of course...
Even if there's less than 60?
Even if there's less than 60, it would seem that way. I'll tell you what, from the Shulchan Aruch, the answer is absolutely yes. Meaning, the 1 to 60 ratio that we use is because normally we can't find a guy. And... Right, 1 to 60 means you're covered.
Right. If you have less than, you have to have a test.
Correct.
Now,
1 to all by eggs, by eggs. That's a stringency, it's a chumrah by eggs that you need 1 to 61. But the ratio, the general ratio is 1 to 60. Okay. Again, if they, that goes back to... We're talking.
By the way, the eggs were the whole eggs with the shell or the inside?
I assume the whole egg. I assume the entire egg. Yeah, the Gemara is not. The Gemara is not particularly clear.
If 1 to 60, you mean, and by taste, you mean only by taste, if it's min b'shein amino.
If it's min b'shein amino, right? No, well, if it's min. Even if it's min b'mino, mid rabbanon, rabbinically, we're going to require 60.
Yeah, so it's 60, but by 60.
Right, the only way you can actually negate, correct,
because
correct.
If it's going, if it's in a mixture, and it's sat there long enough, then you have mean
b'shein amina,
and mean b'shein amina, because the thing went into the one and went out of the one.
Right, okay, so good. So what the Gemara does now is provide a little bit of a curveball, small curveball, and that is that there are two opinions not right now in the Gemara. And by the way, if you want to even be a little more confused, both opinions are quoted in the name of Yehoshua ben Levi, who quotes in the name of Bar Kapara. So... Okay, but again, the more important point is that right now there are two opinions in the Gemara, and that is how much do you need in order to negate taste? Your two options for this morning are 1 to 60 or 1 to 100. And the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Ushneim lalam du'a lam izra b'shela. Where does this discussion generate from? Where does this debate generate from? It generates from the roasted foreleg. Okay, you know that when you're a Nazir and you complete your Naziros, so the completion of Naziris, termination of Naziris, ends in a somewhat of a strange ceremony. Strange to us because we've never seen it. And even if we were in the Beis HaMikdash, it's still going to be a little bit strange. What do I mean by strange? And by the way, the word strange I'm going to use is pretty similar to the word the Gemara is going to use a little bit later on. And that's a chiddush. It's a novelty. Well, let me give you a brief description. You're going to bring karbanos, you're going to bring a chatos, you're going to bring an ola, and There's a third carbon as well, the shlamim. Right, correct. And like all shlamim, what you normally do with the shlamim is that you shech the carbon shlamim and you get to eat it. Okay, here's somewhat of an oddity when it comes to the shlamim of the Nazir, in that he does the following. First of all, I'll tell you something that's odd, which it's not really part of our Gemara today, is that he shaves all his hair and he takes the locks of hair that he shaved off and he throws it under the pot and he burns it in the fire under the pot. Okay, that's, you know, that's strange, although it really doesn't have much to do with the point the Gemara is making. What is the point that the Gemara is about to make is the following, is that he cooks his shlamim. Now, normally the shlamim is eaten by the owner of the carbon. It's a shlamim, right? There are certain parts of the shlamim that go to the kohen, right? The chaziv ishok, right? The chest of the animal and the shok and the back leg of the animal. However, of the shlamim of the nazir, the Torah says that you cook the shlamim in a pot and you give the zroa, the right front leg, to a kohen. In fact, right, to make this even a little bit stranger, not only do you give that part to the kohen, but that part that's given to the kohen is treated like truma. In that, it's given to the kohen, and a non-kohen is not allowed to eat it. So here's what just happened. When you finish your nazirus, you'll have your shlamim karbon. The Torah instructs you to take it and cook it into a pot. After you cooked it into a pot, then you remove the front right leg and you give it to the kohen. It's like truma. Okay? What you just did is you just cooked Isser Veheter together. Now, I'm going to call that right front leg Isser because for you, it's Usser. Obviously, for the kohen, he's allowed to eat it, but I'm not talking from the perspective of the kohen. I'm talking from the perspective of you, the owner of the shlamim, the person who's just finished his Nazirus. So for you, it's prohibited. So what you just did is something so strange, and that is you cooked Isser Veheter together. Now, obviously, the remainder of the animal, the balance of the animal, go home. Well, don't go home. You have to stay in Yerushalayim. It's a carbon shlamim. But enjoy it. It's your animal to eat. Okay? And so now what the Gemara is going to point out is that what you see over here in this model case, which is a very, very strange case, it's unusual, is that you see that you get to cook Isser Veheter together. So I wonder, what's the ratio? What's the ratio between the leg of that animal and the remainder of that animal? So the Gemara goes on to say, Dichsiv, the Torah says, on the last line of Tzadiches Amud Aleph, Lakach HaKohen Zera B'Sheila, the Kohen is going to take the Zera B'Sheila, the V'Tanya, and we learned on the Raisa. Now, Ein B'Sheila El Shlema. The Tanakh comment says, you know what the word B'Sheila means? It means the whole piece. Rashi himself immediately responds to this Gemara. See the top Rashi on the page? Lonas Barsh Be'ezalashon. I don't know how B'Sheila means the whole piece. So, right? It's strange that such a derivation comes out. Tosus makes a suggestion. Perish Be'kunshus, it's the top Tosus on the page. Delonas Barsh Be'ezalashon V'nir Lafarsh Tamashma B'Sheila Kamo Bashal La Lamed Degusha Umapik Hei. So the lamed has a dagesh in it. It's a mapik hay. It's a dot right in the middle of the hay. Ukemoshiesh la klomer kol kemoshihi, as is, suggests Tosfos, is how we derive it. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai amar in b'sheila elish and esbashla ima ayo. Now it just means they have to be cooked together. It doesn't have to be whole. It is an ambiguous brisa. Meaning, I read the brisa, I explained the brisa. I really didn't expect you to understand it, as I myself have difficulty understanding. What is the argument over here? What are they even talking about? Meaning, I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the front right leg of the ram of the Nazir. That part I get. But what's that issue over here? So the Gemara makes two suggestions. Dekule ama bahadi ayo mevushala. So the first version of the Gemara, the first explanation of the Gemara, is that everyone agrees that you cook the front leg together with the rest of the shlamim. Everyone agrees to that. The only issue over here is, do I first cut the right front leg and then cook everything together? Or do I cook everything together and then cut the right front leg? And that's the only issue over here, and now you understand a little bit better. The Tanakhama says, B'Sheila means shlema, means keep it whole. Cook it, then cut it. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, no. Cut it and then cook it. But everyone agrees you're going to cook everything together. or the Gemara gives an alternative approach to understand this braisa, which is the first thing you're going to, everyone agrees you first cut, meaning that right front leg, which is going to be given to the Kohen, you cut it off the animal. And so the machlokas over here is, do I cook everything together, which presumably would be the opinion of the Tanakama, or no, do I cook the right front leg in a separate pot? Because anyway, you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to get any benefit. Well, let's just leave it like that. You're not allowed to eat it. You must give it to a Kohen, so cook in a separate pot. So now, the Gemara does a little bit of summary, a little subtotal. Lelishna kama liba de divrei hakol. According to our first explanation of the braisa, everybody agrees you cook the front right leg together with the rest of the animal. Lelishna basar aliba de Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. And according to the second explanation, at least according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, where he says that you cook it together, meaning the front leg and the rest of the animal, man de amar b'shishim. So now, what's going on? Something fascinating. You're cooking together, it's a v'heter. You're cooking something that's prohibited with something that's permitted. Again, let me just review. That front right leg, for you, is prohibited. Obviously, you're going to hand it over to a Kohen, but for you, it's prohibited. It's like truma. It's like a non-Kohen eating truma. Oh, so now what the Gemara is going to be dealing with is the following. Meaning, look what's happening over here. You now have a license by the Torah, in this particular case, to cook the two together and enjoy the balance of the shlamim. What's the ratio of that front leg to the rest of the animal? And essentially what the Gemara is going to say is, if we know what the ratio is, so then we'll know what's a safe ratio. Meaning, at what point in time can I now say, don't worry about the taste that comes off because the taste has been negated? Now, I will say this before we go any further in the Gemara. The case is a little bit strange. Meaning, this as a model, this case serving as a model is a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to make this point, but even before the Gemara makes this point, let me just share with you what's so strange about it. Notably, it's min bimino. Meaning, it's meat and meat. Meaning the taste that's coming off that front right leg is the taste of meat, together with the taste of bone and the taste of, right, but it's meat. And what is it getting mixed in with? The taste of meat. So this is really a case of min bimino. Okay, and to use this as a model to discuss when taste is going to be negated, the whole discussion of taste being negated, like Aaron said a couple minutes ago, that's really by min b'she'eno mino. That's when I'm cooking dissimilar foods, and one taste is so much, it's going to overpower the other taste. So it is a very strange model in which we're going to have this entire discussion of what is ratios where I negate taste, where over here we're talking about min bimino. Okay? That's a point to consider. It's a strong point to consider. It makes the whole discussion a little tricky. In the meantime, however, let's go with the Gemara. So what is the ratio between the front right leg and the rest of the animal? You're going to like the answer to this question. It's machlokas. meaning, we're going to debate actually what is that ratio. Now, that's kind of a hard thing to debate. Okay, it's not so hard. So, mandam b'shishim sever basav basav atzamas b'hadde basav atzamas misharinan. Because what I do in order to determine the ratio of the front right leg to the rest of the animal is I take everything into consideration. Not just the basar, not just the meat, but the bones as well. If I take everything into consideration, the front right leg is a 60th of the balance of the animal.
Volume or weight?
Usually, when we have these conversations, usually it's volume. Usually.
I know.
I'm also listening to myself as well, and it does sound strange. The leg is a 60th of the entire animal. Granted that,
Well, you got the four other legs that makes it at least 25%, and then you've got the whole body, which is much bigger. So.
I know, but a 60th is really just a fraction. It's not even 2%. Okay. Okay. V'havale b'shishim. Man damar b'meya savra basa b'hadde basa misharinan. Now, what about 1 to 100? Meaning, looking at the same thing, looking at the same animal and walking away with a different ratio. How does he walk away with a different ratio? Because he says bones are not part of the discussion. Right. Because, now, I guess you could put this in a number of ways. I don't want to sit here and analyze it too much, although it's very worthwhile. But you can analyze the covenant in a number of ways. You could say just simply nothing comes off the bone. Meaning there's no taste that comes off the bone, although I'll respectfully disagree. Right? The bones of my children is important. So, but I guess if we're going to try to understand this position, bones are just simply not, they're not in the discussion of taste, neither taste coming off, or maybe you want to say it doesn't receive a taste. I respectfully disagree. I think there is. I'm just trying to understand this position in the Gemara. Don't count the bones. Okay. So if you take this position of don't count the bones, now you understand the ratio is 1 to 100. Because the right front leg is mostly bone, very little meat on that right front leg. So if I'm just measuring the ratio, the aspect ratio of the meat on the front leg and the meat of the rest of the animal, now your ratios are going to be about 1 to 100. Again, none of this I verified last night in my preparations of the Daf Yomi, but right, but if anyone wants to bring an animal in.
Where does the leg begin?
Right, that's an excellent question. Right, Rashi, yeah, right, I knew it was Rashi. Rashi addresses your question. It is Rashi in Lishna Basra. You see the end of that Rashi? So, Yeshetzam Harbeu Vasamur Shahakatev Eno Bechlaus Roa. Rashi says, subtract shoulder. Shoulder is not part of the discussion. Dinan Beperka Zroa, Ezu Zroa, and a Perik Shal Arkuva Adgap Shal Yad. So it's basically from the joint till the paw, or in this case, hoof.
The joint is like the elbow,
the top joint.
Right.
Only the elbow. So it doesn't include the humerus.
Right, he says, okay, fine. That sounds a lot better, right?
Yeah.
In this discussion. Right. Okay.
That's really small.
It's very small. So just finishing up the Gemara over here. V'havale b'shisha mandamei b'meya, sover basur b'hade basur u'misha arinan. V'havale b'meya. Good. All right, there you have it. Presented to you as clearly as I possibly could. Why is there a debate in terms of how much you need to negate the taste? Because we know in the case of the Zorah B'Sheila, so I know I'm allowed to eat the rest of the animal. How did I negate the taste from that came from the front leg? That front leg that to me is absolutely prohibited. How do I know? Because I had the rest of the animal negating the taste. So to this, the Gemara now says, this is where we derive the debate in terms of the ratio being 1 to 60, or is it 1 to 100? Umi alfina mina. Now the Gemara takes a step back and says, look, I have a lot of basic questions to ask. Number one, how can this be the source? How can we derive something from this particular case? The Hatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Zehu Heter Haba Bechlal Isser. And the Braisa says unequivocally that in this case it's mutter, in all other cases similar to this, it would be prohibited. Right? Meaning, there are times in the Torah where the Torah gives us a set of laws, and the Torah gives us things that are prohibited, that are asr, and sometimes there's a loophole. Or sometimes it's just a flat-out leniency. I'll give you a simple example. Majority of the Jewish people are Tamei. Normally, a Tamei person can't even walk into the Beis HaMikdash, let alone bringing a carbon. The Jewish people are Tamei. The majority of the Jewish people are Tamei. You bring the carbon Pesach. Right? How do you understand that? It's very simple. It's an exception. So over here, the Braisa says, this case over here is an exception. So if it's an exception, you can't learn out. You can't use this as a model. This can't be a case study for all other types of mixtures if the Braisa says straight out that the Zehu Heter Haba Mechlal Isser. Normally this would be Usser. Now, Zehu Mute Mai, Lav Lamute Kol Isser Shebetorah. So the Gemara says, isn't this coming to prohibit all Isser in the Torah? So I'm Rabbi, Lo Nitzrucha Ela L'Rabbi Yehuda. So now, here's what the Gemara is going to do. Okay, let me just organize the next page of Gemara. Next two pages of Gemara, and we'll start. And now what the Gemara is going to do is like this. What does the Braisa mean? The Braisa is very short. The Braisa is all five words. The Braisa says, Zehu Heter Haba Mechlal Isser. What does the Braisa mean? The Gemara is going to give one, two, three explanations in terms of what the Braisa means. Meaning, the Braisa says, this is not a good case study, because this is something which is mutter, which is normally usser. So we're going to offer three explanations in the Gemara. Why is this normally usser? What aspect, what issue about this is normally usser? We're going to give three explanations. The whole purpose of this Gemara, these three explanations, is so that we can learn out the basics about tam, taste, and negating taste. 1 to 60, 1 to 100. Yes, it's true that this case is unique, but the Gemara now is going to offer three explanations of what makes this particular case unique. Number one, Amar Abaye, lo nitzricha elo l'Rav Yehuda, damar min b'mino l'abato, kamash malan d'hacha, batil. So number one, you know what the Braisa means when it says that this case is unique? From the perspective of Rav Yehuda. Oh, right. Because according to Rav Yehuda, remember, he says throughout all Shas, min b'mino l'abato, that if I have like substances get together, there's never going to be bittul, there's never going to be nullification. So according to Rav Yehuda, I cook the leg together with the rest of the animal. According to Rav Yehuda, what should result? The whole thing should be prohibited. It's min b'mino. These are like things that got mixed together. The front leg is meat, the rest of the animal's meat. This is a classic case of min b'mino. So according to Rav Yehuda, there should never be bittul, meaning it should be aser. And according to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't matter what ratio there is. Min b'mino ain obatul. So no, in general, Rav Yehuda holds that position. And now what the Gemara is suggesting is that this is what the Braisa means. It's brilliant. According to Abaye. What the Braisa means is that according to Rav Yehuda, in this particular case, even though it's min b'mino, there is going to be bittul. So the Gemara says, I wonder now, v'ligmar minei. So the Gemara says, I really wonder now, according to Rav Yehuda, why is this the exception? Why isn't this the rule? Let this case of the Nazir show Rav Yehuda that there is bittul by min b'mino. Why is Rav Yehuda generally hold that by min b'mino there is no bittul? And in this case there is bittul. Let this be the rule, not the exception. So the Gemara's answer, Galar Rechmanav Lakach Midama Par Midama Seir. So the Gemara goes to the classic source of Rav Yehuda, which is the bloods of Yom Kippur, coming right up, right, this Shabbos. We're going to be reading about it during the Avoda. Be better if we actually did the Avoda. We have time between now and Shabbos for the Mashiach to come. So we'll be reading about it on Shabbos. And what happens is that the Kohen brings in two damim, two bloods into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. One is the blood of the par, the bull, and the other is the blood of the goat. And both of them get sprinkled individually. Then what happens is I mix the two bloods together. Now the assumption is that the bull has a lot more blood than that of a goat. Bull's just a larger animal. And the Torah says they get mixed together. And what does the Torah say? It's still considered the blood of bull and the blood of goat. Meaning despite the fact that they're mixed together, each one retains its own identity. So you see over there, Rav Yehuda uses that as the model that there's never bittul by min b'mino. So, So the Gemara now wonders, okay, I have two case studies. Number one is the cooking of the aisle of the Nazir. Number two is the mixing of the bloods for the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim. One indicates that there is bittul, the Nazir. One indicates that there's no bittul, the bloods of Yom Kippur. So why did Rav Yehuda go to the blood of Yom Kippur as being the rule? And why did he go to the Ayel Nazir being the exception to the rule? So the Gemara asks exactly that question and answers the Gemara. Chazes de gamrin mehech, ligmar mehai, chidush hu, umi chidush lo gamrinan. Because the Zra b'sheila, it's so unique, it's so unusual, it can't be a case study. It can't be a prototype, right? It can't establish a precedent because it's such an unusual scenario. The Gemara says it's a chiddush. Now, what the Gemara does not do, right, this is classic, the Gemara does not tell us what's a chiddush. What makes that so unusual? Right? It's fair to ask. What exactly makes it so unusual in the case of the Zorah B'Shelah? So Rashi over here writes, take a look at Rashi, it's really short. It's five lines down after the lines start getting wider in Rashi. Dilechatchila heter levatel ha'iser. Normally, I can't do the following. Right? Let's say I cook a pot of meat. Right? Big pot of soup. And I'm going to add just a couple of drops of milk. It won't be a lot. Right? It'll just be three drops of milk. That's all I'm going to add. Now, if the drops of milk have been added to the meat, what do we say? Okay, yeah, it's fine. Right? If they've been added already to the pot of meat, so normally you would say that's fine. But if you call up your Rav and you say to your Rav, here's what I'd like to do. Okay, and I know you think I'm a little crazy, but that's fine. I'd like to drop in three drops of milk into the pot of meat. I want to do that lechatchila. May I do that? So the Rav's going to answer you. No, you're not allowed to do that. Shulchan Aruch says, brought down in the Gemara, Ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. I can't be mevatl iser from the get-go. Meaning all your discussions of bittul are only after the fact. But only when an accident occurs. But lechatchila, I want to make a little bit of meat and milk, a little bit of basar b'chalav, and it won't be a problem because I'm just adding two drops. Three drops, that's it. You can't. So wait just 1 second. Right? It's a good question. Just 1 second. So what Rashi is doing now, an explanation of a Gemara, is that's exactly the Gemara's point. Meaning, in the case of the Isle of the Nazir, what's the Torah saying to us? Do bittul. Do it. Meaning, that front leg is going to be prohibited to you. I know it's going to be prohibited to you. You're going to have to give it to the Kohen. And to you, it's as Aser as Truma is going to be Aser. Good. Still, I can cook the two together. You're allowed to cook. Not allowed to cook. You're supposed to cook the front leg together with the rest of the animal. So even though the normal rule, the general rule is aim of Allah, is l'chatchila, here the Torah says, do it. Be mevatel is l'chatchila. Now you understand. So the case of the Zorah B'Shelah is so unusual, so weird, because normally we'd never have license to be mevatel. And here in this particular case, we do have license to be mevatel. Good. So by Rav Yehuda over here, correct. Meaning, and it's because it's two chidushim that it can't be used as a limud. You can't learn anything from it because it's so unusual. Number one, that there is bittul. And number two, the Torah says to you, go out of the way and say, yes, do it. Make bittul. If that's a good sentence.
Is this still talking about Rabbi Yehuda?
No. It's still in the discussion. This is all still in Abaye. Meaning this is all Abaye's explanation of the Braisa. And it is the Gemara's explanation in terms of why Rabbi Yehuda chooses the case of the Damim of Yom Kippur. That's his prototype. That's his Limud. And not the case of the Zorah B'Shelah. Good. The Gemara then finishes up this discussion. Okay. So now, Gemara is going to ask a really good question. So if it turns out now that this whole scenario of the Zorah B'Shelah is a chiddush, it's so unusual, and Rav Yehuda, when given the choice of learning from here or learning from the blood of Yom Kippur, will learn from the blood of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, I'm going to ask you such a simple question. How can you learn anything from the case of the Zorah B'Shelah? Where the whole discussion started, we're learning out ratios. 1 to 60, 1 to 100. Do I count the bones? Do I not count the bones? How do you learn out anything from over here if this is a chiddush and so unusual? The Gemara's answer, So the Gemara says, we're not learning out kulas from here, we're learning out chumas from here. Mina Torah, it's bata barov, right? Meaning a majority, a simple majority is all you need because it's min bimino. And
there's no discussion about ratios in blood of Yom Kippur either. Here there's a discussion that the numbers and everything. There's no numbers there.
Correct. We don't know.
It's just row.
Right. We don't know. Right. I don't know what the actual numbers are. But over here comes to teach us a chumrah in that 1 to 60 or 1 to 100. Okay. Fine. And for that, for a chumrah, we can learn. Okay, good. That ends answer number one. Again, let's just review. I know it's complicated, but hopefully I'll present it in somewhat of an organized fashion. Again, we have the case of the Zohar B'Sheila. The Torah tells us that when the Nazir concludes his Naziros, so he cooks the ram together with the front leg. The front leg is then given over to the Kohen. That means that front leg to you is prohibited. So the Torah tells you have to cook Isser V'Heter together. What is the ratio? So that's subject to a debate. It's either 1 to 60 or 1 to 100, whether we do or we do or we do not count the bones. Good. Then the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says, Heter haba mechlal Isser. This is something that's normally would not be allowed, but in this case it is allowed. So what the Gemara is bothered by is, so how can you, if that's true, so what are you generating from over here? How can you learn anything from over here if this is something that's normally not allowed? So answer number one, which is the answer of Abaye, is it's coming to speak to Rav Yehuda, the position of Rav Yehuda. Normally Rav Yehuda holds min bimino. There's never bittul. Over here in this case, there would be bittul. That's approach number one. Approach number two is the approach of Rava. Rava amar lo nitzrucha ela letam ki ikar de bekachim aser kamashlan de hachishare. Rava says, no, you know what's coming to teach us? A different idea, a different principle. And that is tam ki ikar bekachim. Okay, taste. Now, in this case, when they cook together, the taste is being infused from one to another. Normally, tam is ki'ikr. Tam is treated like the object itself, meaning just like I'm not allowed to eat prohibited food, I'm not allowed to eat taste of prohibited food. Tam ki'ikr bekachin. Normally, that would be prohibited. Over here, it would be permissible.
The thing is that tam applies means sho'ein bimino. This is means bimino. There's no difference in tam. What's okay. The difference in tam?
Good question. Before we even get to that question, okay, this next point I'm going to make is a little bit subtle, but hopefully I'll make it well. And why did Rava like Abaye? Meaning, what is Rava's point of departure from Abaye? Abaye gave what seems to be an excellent explanation of the Braisa. Rav Yehuda normally holds that by min bimino there's not bittul. And over here, it's min bimino and there's bittul. Right? That's Abaye's basic approach. Sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds correct. What's Rava's point of departure? So Rashi explains beautifully. It goes like this. Because let's think for a moment. Let's think for a moment about this Rav Yehuda min bimino. Meaning, what does Rav Yehuda say? That if I have like substances get together, they never get nullified. And it kind of makes sense. Meaning, if you think about it, nullification, the idea of nullification is that one overpowers another. But if they're the same, so one doesn't overpower the other. So like will go to his prototype case, the bloods of Yom Kippur. I'm mixing the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull on Yom Kippur. And the Torah says they still each retain its own identity. Correct? And you kind of understand it because the blood of the goat didn't go anywhere. And its taste didn't get diluted in the blood of the bull. Now, they both have the same exact taste. It's min bimino, and Rav Yehuda says it's not just simply not going to be bittul. In quantity, I understand there's more bull blood than there is goat blood, but so what? In taste, there's still the same taste. So by min bimino, there's no bittul. You see, what Abaye is doing over here, he's actually taking it one step further. Okay, and this is going to be a subtle point, but see if you could follow. Okay, and I'll try to be clear. Abaye is taking it even one step further over here. Because Abaye is saying min bimino is eino batel, not just by the items themselves, but by the taste that comes off the items. Meaning, in the case of the Zohar B'Sheila, did the actual leg get mixed up with the rest of the animal? No. No. In other words, when I finish cooking, I'm going to take the leg out and I'm going to hand it to the Kohen. I'm going to cut off the leg and give it off to the Kohen. So in terms of the actual leg, there's no mixture, there's no tarovis. What got mixed up over here? Only the taste. What Abaye did is he took Rav Yehuda's principle of min bimino and he extended it, not just to where the items themselves get mixed together, but even where the taste of the items get mixed together. And what Rava's, hear it out first. And what Rava's point of departure is, and what Rava's essentially saying to Abaye, this is the discussion behind the discussion, meaning the Gemara is not articulating all this. But what Rava's saying to Abaye is, no, you can't. That's not right what you're doing. What you're doing is you're extending the Rav Yehuda principle of min bimino from items to taste. Rav Yehuda would never say that by taste there's never bittul. Even if the items are like, even if they're similar, even if they're min bimino, but all you're dealing with is just the taste of an item, which is what's coming off of the Zro B'Sheila, we're not going to say min bimino eno bittul. Taste is not the same as the item itself. Right? Taste is just a derivative of the item, but it's not the item. That's one opinion that we... That's one opinion that we saw earlier. No, the Gemara's discussion is predicated on the fact that they're cooked together. The leg and the rest of the animal are cooked together. And there's a taste coming off the leg that's getting infused into the rest of the animal. And essentially what the Gemara's trying to figure out is, well, how is that okay? Why is that okay? So we talked earlier in terms of ratio. Well, it's 1 to 60, 1 to 100. But even before that, we are now discussing it in the context of Rav Yehuda, who says that by min bimino, there's never bittul. And so what Rav is saying to Abaye is, you went too far. Because you applied that to the taste of the item, and Rav says it doesn't go so far as taste. By taste, even Rav Yehuda will tell you, there would be bittul. There will come a point in time there will be bittul.
There's a difference between the taste of the leg and the rest of the body.
Right. There is, in other words, you won't exactly, you won't taste it. But what Abaye is telling you is that the taste is just like the item itself.
In what way?
In what way? Meaning that by items themselves, meaning if I mix bloods together, there's never going to be bittul. If I mix the taste of blood with blood, there's never going to be bittul. I know that sounds a little bit strange. Perhaps I'm not giving the best example of this. But what Abaye is suggesting is that taste and the item are one in the same. And what Rav is saying is that's not true. I disagree with that premise. Okay.
But wouldn't you, it's like a circular argument, but wouldn't you say that if two items are different, you're going to have different tastes anyway?
No. In other words, I mean, yes, you're right, but I'm saying that's not the Rav Yehuda discussion we're having. The discussion starts with two bloods get mixed together. Taste of blood is the same. The blood of the bull and the blood of the goat taste the same. I don't know this empirically.
Okay,
but I'm saying that's where the discussion begins. And what Rav Yehuda is saying is, I don't care about quantity. Meaning, it does not matter to me what quantities we're talking about. They're simply never bittul. Period. What Abaye did in this discussion is he took that principle and he went one step further. He took a big step further, which is, that's true by the bloods, it's true by the taste as well. Meaning, in the pot where I cook the ram, together with its front leg. I cooked it all together. The taste that comes off that front leg is just like the front leg itself. And therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, there should never be bittul. Either there's bittul in this particular case, chiddush. That's a novelty in this particular case.
Is the chiddush for several reasons. One is that because actually, it's the commands you to do it.
Correct. We discussed that aspect of it as well. Okay, again, I know that's a... I know that what I just discussed is a very subtle point. Okay, think about it. You could play the tape again later today. You can hear it again. It might actually make sense. So let's go back to the Gemara. Rava Amar lo nitzucha ela tam keker de bekachem aser kamashman de hachashari. Normally, the taste of taste is going to be just as prohibited as the item itself, and that's true by all kachim except here. That's the novelty of the Zorah B'Shelah. The Ligbar, I mean, now we're now on the topic, Sadi Tesamad Aleph. Why don't we use this as our case study? Meaning, why isn't this the precedent? So, the Gemara says, well, we know that's not true because the Torah says explicitly by the Karban Chatos, anything that touches, now touching over here does not mean actual physical contact. Touching over here means anything that gets infused with the taste of the Chatos is going to be Yikdash, will be sanctified like the Karban Chatos itself. So, for example, right, Kohen, male Kohen, sitting in the Azara, sitting down to a delicious chatas, right, chatas meat, right, and it's a mitzvah for the Kohen to eat the chatas meat. And what does he do? He cooks up the chatas meat together, and he cuts some celery and carrots, and he cooks it together with his chatas meat. Those celeries and that and those carrots that he cooked with the chatas meat, what's the status? Chatas meat. Right? Meaning, you can only eat it in the Azara. You can only eat it by male Kohanim. You only have today to eat it, today and tonight. Right? It absorbed the taste of the chatas meat, and therefore takes on all the rules, regulations, and stringencies of the chatas meat. Lios kamoa shim psula ti pasel vim ksher te'achal kecham shabah. And again, the Gemara goes back to that same question. So now it comes out that I have two models in terms of taste. One is a chatas, and the other is Rabbi Shela. In the case of the chatas, the taste that comes off the chatas to any other foods becomes like the chatas. In the case of the Rabbi Shela, the taste that comes off the Rabbi Shela to the rest of the meat, ignore it. So which one now becomes my prototype? Which one becomes the limud? So the Gemara says it's the chatas. And the Gemara wants to know, my chatas de gamin mehach ligmar mehai? Yeah, why did you do that? Why did you go to one and not the other? So the Gemara's answer is chidushu mechidush lo gamrinan. Because the case of the Zerah B'Shela is a chidush. We'll go back to what we said earlier today. What's the chidush of the Zerah B'Shela? Torah goes out of its way to tell us, do it. Meaning, I know normally ain mevat l'nisa l'chetchila. You're not allowed to be mevat l'nisa l'chetchila, but here I'm telling you you're allowed to. Ihach l'meh v'shishan nami lo ligmar. And again, the Gemara then reviews the same question for us. If we're not learning from the case of the Nazir, so how are we learning out the ratios of 1 to 60 or 1 to 100? Atuan l'kula gamrin l'chumra ka gamrinan d'medaraisa b'ruba batal. We're not learning a kula over here, we're learning a chumra, because min haTorah, rov is all you need. Let's finish up this morning with the third approach. Again, the question is, the Braisa says on the back on the previous page, that this case of the Zerah B'Shela, it's mutter where normally it would be asr. What's normally asr about it? Ravina amar lo nitzucha ela la makam chitach. Ta amar makam chitach ma'ama asr v'hacha sharei. So Ravina says, you know what it is? The makam chitach. You'll remember this from the fourth parak of Chulin, not that long ago. Remember that very strange scenario where the fetus was inside the mother, and then the fetus extended a limb, and then you shechted the mother. So what do we say? Everything inside the limb is good. Everything outside the limb is no good. What about all the stuff right in the middle, right? The part of the arm that was in the border. So what do we say? You gotta cut off that area. That area you cannot eat. That's the makom chitach. It's kind of like in the Twilight Zone. It wasn't outside, it wasn't inside. That part becomes us, so that's what's called the makom chitach. Here by the Zerah B'Shela, we would really say the same thing. Meaning, what do? We cooked together the foreleg and the animal in one pot. Either we cut before or we cut after. Right? Possibly subject to a debate of the Braisa. Either way, there's going to be that part where I actually cut. Right? So, I may have to, right, if I normally maintain that the makom chitach is prohibited, scale back an inch or 2 inches, I don't know how much, scale back and cut even a little bit further, because that was the point of contact, and the point of contact is normally prohibited. So normally, that's exactly what we would do. In the case of Zerah B'Shela, no need. Zehu heter haba mechlal iser. Normally, it would be aser the makom chitach. In this case, it would be mutter. Third approach in terms of what the Braisa means. Okay, quick review. Today, one topic today, just complicated. One topic today, what is the ratio in order to negate the taste? So you have two opinions in the Gemara, 1 to 60, 1 to 100. They're both generated from the discussion of the Zerah B'Shela, where the Zerah B'Shela, the Torah says, you're going to cook the ram, shlamim, of the Nazir, and you're going to give the front right leg to the Kohen. So what is the ratio? So it's subject to a debate. Do I count the bones? Do I not count the bones? And then the Gemara says, what about the Braisa that says that normally you're not allowed to do this? What is this that it's referring to? Abaye's approach, Rava's approach, Ravina's approach. Abaye's approach is that it's a reference to the Rav Yehuda Shita of Min Bemino Zeno Batel. Here we would say that. The Rava approach is Tam Ki Iker, which normally by Kachem would be Aster, in this case would be okay. The Ravina approach, which is normally you cannot eat the makom chitach, Here you could eat the makom chituch. Three possible suggestions in terms of what the novelty is regarding the Zorah B'Sheila.